The following sermon was delivered by Senior Pastor Reverend Dr. Scott Black Johnston in the sanctuary of Fifth Avenue Presbyterian Church in New York City. We welcome you to worship with us every Sunday in person or on live stream. For details, go to fapc.org. And now, here's Reverend Dr. Scott Black Johnston.
Listen now for God's word to you as it echoes to us from the book of Job, chapter 12, beginning with the seventh verse. Ask the animals, and they will teach you. The birds of the air, and they will tell you. Ask the plants of the earth, and they will teach you, and the fish of the sea will declare to you. Who among all these does not know that the hand of the Lord has done this? In his hand is the life of every living thing and the breath of every human being. This is the word of God for you, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Today, we are blessed to hear the Fifth Avenue Presbyterian Church Choir under the direction of Dr. Ryan Jackson present Rejoice in the Lamb, a cantata by English composer Benjamin Britten that premiered in 1943. The back story to this cantata is actually quite interesting. In 1941, in the midst of World War II, Britten was hired to write a composition for St. Matthew's Church in Northampton, England. Britten immediately began to look for an appropriate text, a passage from the Bible or a poem to use as the basis for his new composition. And while he was in the midst of this search, Britten's friend, acclaimed English poet W.H. Auden, introduced him to Jubilate Agno. Written almost 200 years earlier, Jubilate Agno is a religious poem, an eccentric work by English poet Christopher Smart. Smart composed the poem in 1760 while he was confined in St. Luke's Hospital in London for a diagnosis of insanity. During his time in St. Luke's, Smart was mostly sequestered in his room. His cat Joffrey was his only companion. These circumstances stirred up a winsome and unusual poem in Smart's soul. In the piece, he invites readers to see God in unusual places, in musical instruments and the flowers of the field, in the letters of the alphabet, and in Joffrey's antics. There's an extravagant mysticism in this work. There's gentleness as well. Smart described Jubilate Agno as his Magnificat, his attempt, like Mary, to magnify God. Reading the quirky old poem, Britten was captivated, and so he set Smart's verse to music, and soon thereafter, in September of 1943, the first performance of Rejoice in the Lamb took place at St. Matthew's Church. A month or so later, the piece was broadcast by the BBC Home Service to all of Great Britain. I find it interesting that Britten, with Auden's help, gravitated toward this poem in a time of global turmoil. As the bombs of World War II continued to fall on his own country, and as people questioned in the midst of a terrible conflagration, a world on fire moment, as they questioned whether they'd been abandoned by a good and loving God, Britten chose to set Smart's poem to music, a collection of verses encouraging people to find a loving God all over the place. In the book of Job, we read the story of a man who has undergone great suffering, unmerited, undeserved suffering. In the midst of this travail, Job's friends offer explanations for his plight. Basically, Job's friends argue that in one way or another, Job must be to blame for his suffering. Job must have sinned terribly because God is so obviously angry at him. Job begs to disagree. From the depths of human misery, Job fights back. Even in distress, Job asserts, a person can see and be embraced by the goodness of God. And if your friends cannot see it and will not testify to it, well, says Job, then consult with the animals and the plants. They will teach you. They will teach you, says Job, about the goodness of God. Our dog, Fergus, is 12 years old. He's a good boy. It's true that Fergus barks ferociously and annoyingly whenever he hears the elevator doors open and people approach our door. We joke about it, theorizing that Fergus is forever on guard against a potential zombie apocalypse. His caution, however, is short-lived. Once Fergus verifies that you are not a zombie, he will greet you with full body wags. He is what dogs are, a faithful companion, loyal, true, and always eager for a snack. He's been my wing dog for countless hours of sermon writing. And all this makes me think that Job knows what he's talking about. Fergus regularly teaches me about God. Among the dogs and people of our fair city, Fergus is the opposite of aggressive. He will roll over for any other dog. Even our cat bullies him. And mostly, Fergus puts up with it. He's a lover, not a fighter. He appreciates the world. Fergus stretches out to his full length to get his nose up to any window, taking deep breaths, big sniffs, reminding me to draw the goodness of God deep into my lungs as well. Like Smart's cat, Joffrey, Fergus serves the living God. He's a disciple of grace, quick to forgive, eager to play, drawing close when he feels that someone is down or worried. On Friday night, this past Friday, at about midnight, I awoke to a thunderous chopping sound. A helicopter was hovering over 97th Street. Opening the shutters, I saw scores of police cars, lights flashing. I saw emergency vehicles sneaking through Central Park. Some were running the wrong way up Fifth Avenue. It flows south if you're a tourist. They were going north. I saw officers on the sidewalk and on the street and in the park. I've searched the internet. I still don't know why this sudden mobilization occurred. After about 40 deafening minutes, the helicopter left. The police dispersed. As quiet returned, I stood there, looking out on our bright city, watching another small helicopter in the distance, one hovering over the campus of Columbia University. I felt both sad and anxious. Fergus looked out the window with me. He licked my hand. My friends, we are living through an especially contentious and dangerous time. In 3 weeks, on Pentecost Sunday, I plan to talk in some detail about the challenges we face in this very conflicted world. But in a way, today, we are also talking about and learning to face these challenges. I think of it this way. Our faith equips us for honest and holy living in both overt and covert ways. Does that characterization surprise you? Some say that if the church is not explicitly wagging a finger, describing the suffering of martyrs and calling out violence, if we aren't deep in the weeds defending or criticizing protests and counter-protests, then we're not a relevant faith, a responsive faith, a faith that will advance the cause of the right and the good. To some, talking about animals with affection and appreciation, while protesters chant and police make arrests, might seem like a dodge, like a fluffy bit of distraction drawing the faithful's gaze away from the world's tremendous problems. I would urge us not to be too quick in drawing that conclusion. Consider, for example, Job. Job points to plants and animals in his own upended world because he sees in these creations and these creatures reliable witnesses to what is good and what is true. In the same manner, Benjamin Britten embraced Christopher Smart's poetry, The Waggles of Joffrey the Cat, not as a distraction, but as spiritual therapy. The gifted composer knew that darkness and despair were knocking at Great Britain's doors. But instead of wallowing there, the composer offered people a lens of hope, a vision that reminds us that the goodness of God is very close, even, or perhaps especially, in the midst of hard times. Sometimes, my friends, the grace of a dog, the comfort of feeling God's creation lick your hand, can be all that we need to sustain us for another day, to help keep our focus on the good, on acting out of love, on really working for peace. Sometimes when the helicopters chop and the drumbeats sound, we need to be reminded where to look. On those days, the best preacher I know is a small, fluffy guy named Fergus. And that's the truth. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God endures forever. And now, friends, go out into the world in peace. Pay attention to all the servants of the living God. Hold on to what is good and follow as best you can Christ our Savior. Amen.
We hope this sermon has been meaningful to you and given you a measure of hope, encouragement, and good news. If you would like to make a donation to support this audio ministry, please visit fapc.org/give. Thank you and blessings to you on this day.